in the studio. We've got our community board chairperson, Gabrielle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's just mention, I know you haven't got the agenda yet, but the community board is meeting next week. And will they be on Zoom or will you be in person?
It's actually going to be in person.
Right.
At the town. I'm sure it'll be at the town hall, but I'm actually waiting.
Confirmation.
Yeah, in case someone else has booked it.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah, we'll let you know. And if we're not there, we'll leave a little note on the door if you turn up and want to know where we are.
Probably be at the community house if it's not there. Mm. And is it at 1:30?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So it's open forum at 1:30, mm-hmm. meeting at 2?
Okay. Well, meeting starts at 1:30 and then the open forum is first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I see the open forum as part of our meeting.
Yes, yeah. And I think you're trying to get staff to be there at 1:30.
Yeah, when there's some. Yeah, that's right. And they're pretty good, actually. They come and listen in and.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I'm trying to remember if there was talk about having the meeting at different times prior to having to do it on Zoom.
Yeah, so absolutely. I think that's been talked about over the years, having the meeting sometimes in the evening, which would suit some people a lot of people probably that are working. Mm. And we did try that last year. Or was it last year? Gosh. In this term anyway, we did an evening meeting and we thought, well, let's just try it. Apparently from the facts from the past when they've done a little bit of research into whether it's better to have it in the evening or not, it seems that not a lot more people turn up in the evenings, but we're really willing to try it as well. So if people come to us as a board and, you know, say, actually, I'd really love to come to a meeting, but I can only come in the evening, and we hear from a few people, well, there's no reason why we can't just try another evening one.
There are complaints sometimes, they don't have it in the evening and working people can't come, but a lot less people come if it's in the evening. But maybe it needs to be done for a very long time for people to get used to the idea.
That's the thing, really.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And you don't know till you've tried it
whether
it'll work or not. Anyway, in-person meeting, supper room, hopefully, next week. The food waste survey is out. Not the council hasn't made the decision about the food waste rates, but the survey has come back. And have you seen the results?
So I haven't actually seen the results, because usually you can see all the results and you can read them all.
Yeah.
So no, I haven't. I imagine that will go to the council meeting. They're going to be making their decision, as far as I know, in June.
There was a press release or something showing that.
Yeah, it gave the results. There was 657 submissions.
Which is a lot.
It's a lot, which they were really impressed with, actually, that the community, especially with a lot of COVID was around at the time, that people, were really engaged. And there were 55% of the submissions were for the food waste, and 45 were against. I wouldn't say necessarily against the food waste, but possibly against part of it or paying for it.
Yeah, yeah. If it was free, I'm sure there'd be a lot more.
Yeah,
support.
So it'd be really interesting to know, how many people kind of support it in a sense, but don't support the.
The last time they did that survey, they tried to ask that question and it confused people and they thought they could say, yes, I like it, but no, I don't like to pay for it. So,
yeah.
And at the time, I was saying this result is not accurate. And to me, this proves that point, because they asked a very clear, simple question, are you going to pay $72.90 for this or not? And the majority have said yes. But then it goes to council to make the final decision.
Yeah, and that's right.
They weigh it up with other stuff?
They will weigh it up with other stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it seems like the stuff they're going to weigh it up with is government push for getting food waste out of the refuse. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And also council, they've had a lot of discussion and have plans to do that, as far as I know, as well, across the district. So it's not just the government.
Yeah, and I think, is Hamilton City already doing it?
I think they are.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just the way the world's moving, basically, at this point.
Yeah, but I think that will definitely help them, having that recent, hearing from everybody. They'll be looking at that really closely.
Yeah, I think it'll make a comfortable decision for them.
Mm.
Yeah. At the last community board meeting, there was the first word I'd heard that there's a possibility of a community swimming pool.
Mm.
Have you were talking with people involved with Rangatahi development about that?
That's right, yeah. I'm actually going to go to a meeting after this interview.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, have you got any news about it in an hour?
Well, in fact, they did send me something through. I'm sorry I didn't read it before I came. I might have been able to give you something then, but probably it's better that after the meeting today, I'll know a bit more and then, find out what's ready to share out to the community. But there's definitely meetings happening and a plan to go ahead for a pool at Rangatahi.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And they go, I guess, I'm guessing Raglan Land Co can supply the land or something like that.
I think that's right, yeah.
It's a key component of having a swimming pool.
Yeah, I think that's maybe one of the reasons, I mean, possibly one of the reasons why it hasn't happened more easily before is having the right land for it.
Yeah, the right land.
I mean, of course, land can be found, but I think if something's being offered, well, that makes a big difference. Of course, there'll be funding that will need to be raised, but...
But now you can go to funders and you say the community's already contributed part of this...
Yeah, and they clearly already want a pool. I think that can be proved as well.
Yeah, I think funders like lotteries, they don't want, well, they never supply the entire funding. I think they supply a third or two thirds. I'm not sure how it works. Mm. But if the community's got nothing, they're not really interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're a small community, so I always thought this one was going to be a challenge, but it's sounding positive.
Mm. It is actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about this off the air. Community board boundaries, there's no actual map out yet, but basically Local Government New Zealand has told the council to go on, do the full change for the Raglan Community Board that the community was asking for.
Yeah.
Which means, can we describe it, Gabrielle?
Yeah, I think we can describe it. So at the moment, the community board area, so we've got the Raglan Ward, which is a large area, right up to... the Divi, I'd say.
Down to Aotea Harbour?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the community board area is a small part of that currently. So that really is more around the urban area and out, not even quite to Orkety Road, and kind of around the mountain, actually.
People say, oh, why is the mountain included? But there's these things called mesh blocks. I always explain this.
Yeah.
There's the smallest... When you divide New Zealand up into little bits officially, a mesh block is the smallest you can do. And if you want to include the people living like on Upper Wainui Road in the Raglan Community Board, you have to include the whole mountain. Not that there's anyone on there except a few trappers.
That's right. So then in the recent representation review, the community board, after hearing and having an understanding of the community and the rural communities, and it wasn't just the board who did a submission, but... residents as well submitted to the council, and the decision has been made to extend the community board area by 6 mesh blocks. I mean, that doesn't mean much to people. Basically 6 blocks on a map.
Yeah.
But that goes up to, I don't have the maps exactly here, so I can't be really accurate, but they will come. But it goes, it'll include kind of Orkety into Te Uku.
Yeah.
So it really includes the communities of Tamata and Te Uku as the main thing.
And Ruapuki. I know there's no central community there, but there's a lot of people living
there. Yeah, sure it includes that coastal Ruapuki mesh block or area. And then it goes right up to Waitatuna Road.
Okay.
So it doesn't include Waitatuna Road, but it just goes literally right up to the edge of it.
Yeah, and we had sort of heard that people in Waitatuna, a lot of people there don't feel like Raglan's their central area, but for the other areas... closer.
Yeah, well, that's why we didn't ask for that mesh block of Waitatuna area to be included.
Yeah.
But I think there's just a couple of properties that are in that one bordering Waitatuna Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the background for listeners, the community board and other people in Raglan had asked, on the area, had asked for that size extension, and the council had gone all softly conservative on it and done 3 of the 6 mesh blocks. That was their decision. And it ended up, the line was drawn right through the middle of Te Uku and right through the middle of Tamata.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah.
It just didn't really make sense, actually.
That's what you do when you've just been conservative and don't want to frighten the horses. But
then there's mesh blocks where, no, we can't add that one in. But Chris Rayner did a really good job of presenting to the hearing panel.
He's one of the community board members.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, the other thing that happened was in the final council decision-making meeting, I think it was the mayor came up with an idea of having some rural seats and some urban seats on the community board, and this is something that had not been consulted on at all.
Mm.
And so that's gone
as well.
Yeah.
I think that, we made the point that actually, we just didn't think that was a good idea for a few reasons. So the hearing panel as well said, no, we don't see that as necessary.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be really interesting next board term.
Yeah.
To see, it's going to change things for the board. And I was thinking, actually, it'd be great if someone or someone's from the rural communities of Tamata and Te Uku and Ruapuki, they can stand, I mean, they could have anyway before, but actually it would be great to have some representation on the board next time round.
Yeah, and you guys, you'll all be able to vote who live out there. Probably actually if they're in Ruapuki, they won't be picking up this broadcast. But anyway,
yeah,
there's a mountain in the way.
Yeah, word gets round.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it will, and will, and we'll put stuff like on our written stuff online as well. But you do have, I was just going to say, like Dennis Amore, even though he lives in town now, has spent most of his life in the rural parts of Whangaroa.
Yeah, that's right, actually. It's not that we have no idea or no one.
Yeah.
But I think having someone who's living out that way currently and involved in the communities out there would be great.
Yeah. So I've, there's a guy called, local guy called Nick Hammond who's been talking to me about bike riding safety in town after he had a pretty nasty accident. He showed me photos. I don't know. He might show you the photos.
I haven't seen the photos, but he's spoken to me too.
Yeah, you had a pretty nasty accident. So to me, after talking to him, it was kind of like we don't have, I guess the big picture is we don't have proper cycle lanes in town. And that's quite a hard one. Like it would be great if we did, and if we want to be a more environmentally friendly place with people riding bikes, safety is an important aspect of it. What do you say in this scenario? Because it would take quite a lot of effort for that to happen.
Yeah, I think what we've got to do, I mean, I think that is really important. A lot of people do want to cycle, but they need to know that they're safe. And it was really unfortunate for Nick that he had this accident. And I think, you know, he's really making a point now of raising these issues. And I think he has some background maybe in his work.
Yeah, health and safety is...
Yeah, so he'll be looking at it with different eyes, I suppose, with his expertise. And I think that, you know, some roads, I suppose, that we have just perhaps can't be widened or would be so expensive to widen that actually we really will need to use what we do have and work smartly with council to use the roads that we have or create alternative routes or so it's going to be interesting. I mean, I know the council are doing a lot of work, like they've done that new path along Papahua by the skate park and well, not the skate park actually, by the soccer fields and the campground. So they do have some funding and they're doing work, and they've done that work along Wainui Road.
He did make the point about the path that comes, well, it comes all the way from Wainui Reserve to Papahua, and and you can cycle on it. It is delivering people across the bridge to now a narrow path
with the footbridge and the narrower path.
Yeah, under the trees beside the water with the slopey concrete bit. And I've always liked that. That's a casual thing about Raglan, but it's going to be another one of those things that we face in town, that the population's growing, the number of visitors are growing, and now there's going to be more people cycling along there. And at some point, maybe we're going to have to accept that gets done properly, do you reckon?
I was going to say, can we have a one-way with cyclists and pedestrians? That wouldn't work, but on the footbridge.
You make it a one-way walk, so you can only go clockwise around the...
That is an interesting point with the, you know, cyclists using... I mean, I suppose cyclists just need to dismount there. I mean, that's what happens, right, when you go, if you're cycling. It's not a very long bridge, really. You think about it.
Well, the bridge
you're not planning to go fast there probably anyway. And
the bridge is reasonably wide, but it's the walkway on this side under the trees as you come.
Yeah,
the
so that
the
area
jetty.
There, there's actually going to be some work, as far as I understand, in that area, because the seawall, if it's called a seawall there, I mean, it is.
It's a slope.
Harbour wall, or that actually needs some work.
Because it's old, isn't it? You look at old photos of Raglan that's been there for a long time.
Yeah, so we're actually going to have a report come to our community board meeting next week, or in this agenda. They've done a study on what work is needed, and they're actually going to bring that report to us.
Right.
So I'm imagining that when they do the work to that wall, that they will improve the footpath. I mean, they won't keep the old footpath there. Surely they'd have to... You know, it'll be a bit wider and...
Yeah, they're so health and safety conscious, the staff, that I can't imagine that they would just put some smooth concrete over that slope.
Yeah, so I think there maybe is an opportunity to widen that slightly.
I think they'll feel compelled to put a rail there.
Well, that's something they'll come... There has been a little bit of discussion about that because someone else raised that as a safety issue of small children or other people who aren't so stable perhaps falling off there, and it's quite a drop. So that will probably be looked at the same time.
That's the bit. I kind of like it how it is. Just,
I know,
just
and
me.
Then we've got to decide, do we have more railings?
More railings is not Raglan. And my kids, when they were little, when they were toddlers and preschool age, they were fine along there.
I must say, I've slightly freaked out with my child cycling fast, and then somebody comes walking and they veer out, and I mean...
Yeah, I know. There's certainly potential.
Mm.
But it, like I say, like I guess I'm trying to soften people up a little bit. Raglan, it's like the parking thing. We just have to accept that Raglan's changed.
Yeah.
There's more people here. And
that's right.
Yeah.
And I suppose things can be done in a way that, you know, it's not this huge metal ugly railing. There's probably a way that something, if it came to that. But yeah, things do change. We've just got to really put thought into it. And
will there be... I guess people will be asking the question, will there be some consultation on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, yeah, we're now trying to design it.
So. You know, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think in terms of, I think, you know, maybe it'd be good to, I'll get in touch with Nick today and encourage him if he can to come to the board meeting. It's always great when members of the community can come to the meetings and share with the board their concerns. He's certainly done that by email. But yeah.
Yeah. And like my opinion on that, my comment, folks, is that it does make a difference if you can get along, because then everyone on the board hears you directly rather than through the one person you've spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
The last meeting, there was just a talk amongst board members about wanting to have a crossing down near Orca. So you're coming up from the jetty across the road there. And I must say, it's very natural just to walk up and walk across the road.
Mm.
It just feels like what you want to do. But obviously there's cars coming through, so has there been any progress on that?
No, because I need to meet with a couple of board members with Gareth Bellamy.
Who's the roading
manager. And we just haven't made a date. He's available to meet, and he's on holiday at the moment. So.
Okay.
But we will do that.
Wharf Tender, are you still involved with the Wharf project a little bit?
A little bit, yeah, I know a little bit about that.
So I think there's last time I talked to Dennis a few weeks ago, Dennis Amor, and there was talk about going to tender soon. Mm-hmm. For some of that work, how's that?
So what I understand, and there's a report from Dennis in the Community Board Agenda, but they've actually decided to make it one tender to include the pontoon and the new walkway, and they call it the West Walkway,
yeah,
and maybe some structural work as well into one tender just to make it more cost effective,
yeah.
I suppose. So that tender actually closes on the 3rd of May, and it will be awarded... to the successful organisation on the 20th of June.
Okay.
So by the 20th of June, we'll know, hopefully, who's going to be doing the works. And then there's plan to start the works in July, quite soon.
I know that will depend on the construction company how busy they are, because everyone is so busy at the moment.
Yeah.
I guess that's one of the reasons to make the job, combine all the work into one job, so it's a big enough job, A, that they're interested, and B, that they kind of value it, you know.
I imagine as part of the tender that they would need to say that they can do the work within a certain period of time. I mean,
if they're going to wait 2 years.
That must be a condition probably of it. Yeah, another thing is that they've, you know, resource consent has been submitted to the regional council.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a little bit more unknown in terms of the timing of
those consents
getting approval.
A few months, yeah. All right.
And also on the harbour study, which is kind of related to the wharf.
Yeah.
So in terms of putting together the harbour study report, that's going to be due out in probably early May for the community to comment on. There were about 90 submitters to that.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's really talking about the future of the harbour and really more around infrastructure. So access to the harbour but it really doesn't only cover that, because through the submissions and conversations we've had, you know, there's been a lot of discussion around not just infrastructure but actually the health of the harbour and how we as community and visitors can contribute to that.
And something actually I just remembered, something that a regional councillor, Fred Lischwack, pointed out was that there is the regional council is doing a plan for out here, and I can't remember whether, I think it's a coastal one maybe.
Yeah.
And he did say that they had not rated our harbour as high as Altea and Kawhia, using really old information, like 30 years old, when it was a mess out there.
Mm.
And if it's, I don't know, I'm using the word rating because I can't think of the right word, but you get the idea. If the rating's low, then that means it's a bit more of a free-for-all in there. in terms of...
do you mean like environmental kind of value or something?
Yeah, it's environmental value. So there is a need. People can go to our website, we've got an article about it anyway, instead of me stumbling over it. But if you're concerned about the health of the harbour, really important, I think, to look at that as well. Maybe the community board should...
do a submission.
Well, is the harbour part of the community board?
Some of it, I think. Oh, well, yeah. So
you can represent the community, though, I think.
Well, I think we wouldn't worry about that. We'd just make a submission. I mean, just, you know, I think you can't be too defined by these lines and things. They're not real lines, are they?
Well, no, I mean, there's council
rules. They're lines on a map. But
yeah, it's like district council stops here and regional council starts here. But in the reality, we're a community that
I think, no, they wouldn't say, we're not going to hear from you because actually, no, that's not a part of your community board zone. That wouldn't make – the regional council wouldn't be so stupid, I think.
No, the board represents the community, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, that's another important one to be involved in, coastal plan, and then there'll be another harbour one soon.
Okay. Have you got other stuff you've been working on since
– Oh, much.
Much.
Well – there is other stuff. So just to let you know as well, in the agenda for next week, we're going to have some staff from Watercare. So Watercare are the company that manage a lot of the council community waters, like stormwater, wastewater and freshwater.
Yep.
So we're going to have a couple of Watercare staff come because we wanted to speak to them about those three things, get an update on the three waters and... speak about some stormwater issues.
Will they also
and the wastewater discharge as well. And actually there's a meeting to let everyone know. It's an online meeting. Anybody can join. But we haven't had one for a while, but it's about the wastewater discharge consent. So that's the wastewater that goes out into the harbour.
So folks, that's the big question. Are we keeping the sewage ponds or are we doing land-based treatment?
Well, I don't think you'd get rid of the... Probably still need the ponds in some way.
No, but that, I'm just trying to get people...
Make it clear, yeah.
Yeah. That's if you're concerned about that issue, this is where it's...
That's
where
right.
It's
if you think that the wastewater should go to land, which I think much of our community does, then it'd be great to join into this meeting. It's next Wednesday, 7 o'clock in the evening. And if you want to join, we'll put it on our Facebook page in the next day or two, but just contact us as well about
that. Okay, so there'll be a Zoom link or something.
There'll be a Zoom link, yeah.
Or is that one of those ones that's on YouTube anyway?
Hard
to say.
Well, it possibly might be going live. We'll let you know. Yeah.
There'll be updates. And we'll probably let people know as well on here if we've got the
info. That's a good idea. I'll make sure you've got that. The other thing was the Greenslade Road Junction, which we talked about at the last community board meeting.
Oh, yeah.
I called up Waka Kotahi, which is the transport agency.
Oh, yes.
And I'm waiting to hear back. Apparently, I'll hear back within 10 days. I think it's almost 10 days. But
you're a community board chairperson, so you have to wait 10 days. If it was the prime minister, it might be sooner.
That's okay. I was like, yeah, I can do that, 10 days. So, I just made a point of saying that we need to talk about it. And I suppose if nothing comes from that, we talked about maybe doing a petition to say that... You know, I wanted to ask the woman or someone, how many do you need to hear from so that you'll listen to us? Do you need 200 or?
I think no amount of people because they've got their own policies. But
I don't know.
Media,
I think
it's my slightly cynical view. But I did ask them questions too as a media organisation, and they'll probably recycle the same answers. Which is
so. We're not giving up on that one.
No,
that was just what I was saying. We're going to,
I think that the one thing that the answers were fairly solid answers from a bureaucratic point of view, but the one thing that I disagreed with, they said that there's a concealed sign.
Already?
As you come along State Highway 23, there's a concealed sign, but that doesn't, in my mind, equate to hidden queue.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone's concerned about with the Greenslade Road intersection, is that you come around that corner, you're unfamiliar, bam, there's a car sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that might be an angle that could be picked at.
Yeah, or we could just put up our own sign.
Yeah, we won't tell them if we're doing that though, eh?
No.
They might come and take it down.
Well, that's right, and if they do, we'll just put up another one or something. But anyway, I'm not really mean, I'm just saying really that
That's the feeling about it, isn't it, that it feels like, we have to take it into our own hands again.
Yeah, they're not, and then the other thing, which is maybe more related to my work with Raglan Naturally, is that we're working, Denise Reynolds and I are working with the community to start thinking about Matariki celebrations.
When is that?
Do we have a date? The public holiday is on the 24th of June.
Okay.
Yeah, so Friday, 24th of June. So it's the first public holiday for Matariki. Mm. Matariki has been celebrated in, of course, our community for a very long time.
Well, hundreds of years.
Yes, exactly. So, it's not a new thing, even though we're feeling excited about this year.
Yeah.
It's not something new. And it's the, for people that don't know, it's the Māori New Year. We've just been talking with a few local organisations and thinking about possibly closing some of the main street, of course, with consultation with anyone affected, for an evening and having a kind of community potluck dinner around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Some hot soup this evening.
Yeah, that's right. So if anyone's interested in, or if you've got any ideas about Matariki, or you're interested to be involved, then you can contact myself, or Denise Reynolds in our information.
Is there a regular naturally Facebook page or a website
that people can just go to? Probably Facebook. Website's being worked on at the moment, being refreshed.
Yep.
But just ask around, you'll find us.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Probably about it.
That's about it. And community board meeting next week.
Next Wednesday, 1:30, Town Hall.
And that's the plan in the Town Hall supper room, again, after many months of being on Zoom.
Yeah, it's going to be really strange. Great.
people will be. It's better for getting people along, I think, and casual, not casual, but non-community board members to come and have their say.
I think so. And I mean, I much prefer it. It's so much nicer to see people face to face.
Yeah.
And, just it's kind of tricky on Zoom in a way. It's kind of convenient, but it's a bit boring.
Yeah. Like it's slightly more exhausting.
Yeah, it's really hard to keep track and sort of, see. Yeah, just to be able to respond well. I suppose as a chair, it's harder to respond to the...
Yeah, you can't read the room so easily.
Can't kind of read the room.
It's not a room.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Gabriel.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks for coming in. Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. That's Sophie Tucker in Gorgon City. We're going to put a pause on that. Gabriel's still here. We just realised there was something we'd like to talk about too, which was the rally meeting that happened on Wednesday this week.
Yeah, that's right. There was a meeting at the Town Hall. And it was about the international car rally. It's probably not the right word to say car rally.
WRC, I think, is the... I'm not an expert, though, so let's just say the rally.
Yeah, it's a rally, you probably know. But it's an international rally, so it's not just a New Zealand one. It's happening at the moment around the world, and they're going to have a leg or legs in New Zealand.
They're going to, or they want to?
They are going to, but not... And I thought it was only going to be in Raglan.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's not. There are other places around that they're going to be doing it. But three of the... the main attraction, actually, for the rally is actually to come to Whangaroa, to come to Raglan.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's the most sort of sought after.
They like that coastal road.
They like the coastal road.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a meeting. A couple of the organisers came as an opportunity for community members, residents, any residents actually, to come and just ask questions, learn more about the rally. So it would be, it's in September, planned for September, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And it would be a really big event in terms of numbers of people coming into the community.
We have had it before, haven't we?
Yeah, I think the last one was 2012, maybe the international one.
Oh, really? That long ago?
I think it was quite a while ago.
Okay, all right.
Don't quote me. It could have been 2018. I was trying to listen.
Well, it's like everything. It's like a different era, the pre-COVID era.
Yeah.
That's how it all feels in my head.
So yeah. I think, from as a community board member being there, listening in, it was, hearing there are some people who are quite opposed to the rally, possibly more people who live out on the road where it would be, kind of Whanga Road and things.
Yeah.
And then there were also people that were really excited about it and really for it.
Because usually at a meeting like this, the people who are opposed will turn up and the people who like it don't?
No, there were both, actually.
Okay,
yep, interesting. I would say there was, probably half-half. And I think I heard that the positive part about the rally, I mean, other than if you love a rally, then you'd be so super excited.
Yeah.
But that it would bring money into the community for businesses and also for... community groups in terms of fundraising. It's a real big fundraising potential, providing food and even just services, whether it's helping people park cars or a field to park cars. There's quite a lot of...
There's potential, we'll say.
Potential.
Yeah.
Well, I think from the past they've got actual facts to say that actually these groups actually do raise this much money and it... Yeah, so I think they're pretty clear about that. And there was interest from groups and, you know, in terms of businesses, knowing that it would bring at that time of the year where it's quite quiet. Mm. Well,
oh, yes. It is pretty quiet
it's
in September.
Kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know, there's the other, just thinking about, you know, is this something that we as a community want to support? Just even thinking about climate action and the environment and, you know, so it was quite, I found it quite interesting to listen to the different.
Yeah, so there's a debate, but they have to make a decision at some point. So
yeah,
what's the
so apparently, so they're actually having to do the, you know, I suppose their kind of road closure consent with the Waikato District Council.
Yeah.
And I think in the next 2 months they need to get that consent.
So will we be hearing back from them at all in this time? Or
so they're happy to come back. I think really it probably needs to be fed, it'll be fed back through council.
Yeah.
And even through the community board and through Lisa Thompson, in terms of just keeping the community updated.
Yeah.
So if people want to write to the council and express your views, you can do that. Or you could do it through the community board or through Lisa.
Yeah, maybe I should have an interview with someone.
Yeah, it would be good. And actually one thing we did ask, which I think would be really good, is that actually the organisers, so the idea in terms of the roads, which was a bit of an issue, was that they would inspect the roads really thoroughly before the event and afterwards and ensure that it goes back to the same standard.
Yeah.
But we also suggested maybe the organisers could come back to the community a month after and actually just have a bit of a review, like how did it go?
Yeah. Do you know what? I actually think the roads could be made better because at the moment, have you driven around Ruapoki?
I haven't for a while, but
it's pretty shabby.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, last time I was out there. So
yeah. So just we'll keep you up to date through. You'll hear about it certainly if it's going ahead.
So that's the news for you folks anyway. That if you're wondering what happened with that meeting on Wednesday, that's the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Gabriel. Thank you. We'll let you go now.
Yep.